labor, your costs are for you. This thing, of course, I'm bound to find for higher ground to make the devil come home.
The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service. And I want to continue on from this morning, a word of victory. I had another message prepared, but I didn't get to finish what I was preaching about this morning, and I thought maybe I should continue on this evening. So I want to continue on this evening, and I want to read from Isaiah 53 tonight, and we want to pray again for those that have need tonight, and also for Brother Mark's daughter, Abigail. They think maybe she's broke her finger, that the Lord will just touch her, and any others as well that need the Lord's touch tonight. May the Lord touch them, praise God. And those tuned in tonight and listening in on the way, Facebook, the Lord bless you, and we welcome you into our service this evening. And this is a time to remember the resurrection and Easter, and about the Lord and about Calvary. And it's the most important date, I believe, if you want to put it like that. And there's the resurrection, there's the birth of Christ, then there's a resurrection of Christ. And the two things as Christians that we need to celebrate, I believe that. And the best way to do it is to remind God's people and what it's all about, what the Lord done for us on the cross. Let's read verse 1 of Isaiah 53 then, 1-6. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, and as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one unto his own way. And the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I want to read then just one verse from John chapter 19 and verse 30 again. We read it this morning. John chapter 19 verse 30, a word of victory. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let us bow again this evening before the Lord, and if you have a need, just raise your hand up to the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed. God bless you, God bless you. There's lots of needs tonight, praise God. And anyone tuned in this evening, if you have a need, just wherever you are in your home, just be receptive to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening. We bless your lovely name. We approach you in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for an opportunity again to come before your throne of grace, where we may find help in the time of need. Lord, I plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over my life and over everyone tuned in and in this room this evening. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I pray for the hands raised that you'll meet every need and you'll answer prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you again for Mary, Lord, and you know her, Lord, this evening, that you'll touch her and help her at this time and strengthen the whole family in Jesus' precious name. Pray for Abigail, you'll touch her, Lord, and that everything will be all right. And bless Brother Mark and the whole family in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless each one that's here and those that couldn't be here tonight. We pray you'll bless them and you'll be our portion this evening. And those watching in by Facebook, Lord, you'll touch them and minister to them. Save the lost and heal the sick. And get thyself all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Here we see accomplished. The atonement has been accomplished. Christ has died on the cross. And just before he dies, he utters these wonderful words of victory. It is finished. But that means complete. It's done. That the Lord has done the work that he came to do. It's finished. Everyone that's going to be saved is now paid for. And they're paid for in full because of Christ and the cross. Luke 9:10 says, Luke chapter 19 verse says, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Every man and every woman that's born of a woman was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's the Bible. And every one of us are sinners by nature and sinners by birth. And every single one of us were lost. But thank God this evening, Jesus Christ died to save lost sinners. Isn't that wonderful? That he died to save lost sinners. There's hope for every man. And there's hope for every woman this evening. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am the chief. God sent his son to redeem them that were born under the law. And all through the Old Testament, man was born under the law. And Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. 1 John 3 verse 5 tells us, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Here's a great thing here, because we needed someone that had no sin to take away our sin. Now, I couldn't do that for you, and you couldn't do that for me, because I was a sinner. You were a sinner. Every man, even the prophets were sinners. The apostles were sinners. There's no good man you can show me, but he was a sinner. Not only a sinner, but the Bible says born in sin. But Jesus Christ was born without sin. And he knew no sin. Therefore he came to save, because he had no sin. And I'm going to go into that a bit more in a moment. This involved the cross. It involved the cross. The lost which he came to seek could only be found there at the cross. At the cross is where we have to be found. There's no other place you can be saved. It's not the church that saves you. It's not the minister that saves you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that paid for your salvation and my salvation. And thus we'll find mercy at the cross. In the place of death, under the condemnation of God, that's where every one of us were. But thank God for hope. Sinners could be saved only by one taking their place and bearing their iniquities. And you know who that one was? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ took your place. He took my place. That makes him our substitute. That's what he is this evening. He's our substitute. Aren't you glad he is? Man, if you don't have a substitute tonight, you're in trouble. You're still lost, you know. And you know when Abraham took Isaac up the slay him, and there's a ram caught in the thicket, and the voice said not to slay him. That was a substitute. God accepted that lamb in the stead of Isaac. Praise God. They who were under the law could be redeemed only by another fulfilling its requirements and suffering its curse. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirements of the law and the curse of the law so that we could be saved. Our sins could be taken away only by them being blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. It's only the precious, that's why it's precious. The blood of Christ is precious because it's without original sin. Every man's blood's corrupted. Every man's blood, there's sin in the blood, you know. Do you know that? And we're all one blood. The Bible tells us that no matter if you're black, yellow, whatever your color or creed is, we're all one blood. The one blood's all the same in every man's veins, but Christ's blood was supernatural blood. It was God's blood, uncorruptible blood. The demands of justice had to be met. The requirements of God's holiness had to be paid. And on the cross, this was done. Done by the only begotten Son of the living God. That's the only one that could do it. Nobody else could do it. It was done perfectly. It was done for all. And it was finished. Finished. Completed. Made an end of. That's what it means. So it will never have to be repeated again. It'll never have to be done again. What Christ done 2,000 years ago is enough for all time and all eternity. Luke 18:31 says, then they took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Here we see the end of our sins. I want you to see this. The end of our sins. Now, I had this prepared, but when I went back up this evening for the time and some more things started to come to me this evening about this. The sins of the believer are all transferred to the lovely Savior. That's why you need a substitute. Who are you going to transfer them to? If there's nobody to take your place, that's why the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given under all of heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins and my sins were transferred to him. I want you to really get a hold of this evening. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, for all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now let me say this. The only difference is Christ is our substitute. And if you were talking about a substitute in a natural way, there's a difference. Because Jesus was a substitute for all. He's a substitute for all. He paid the price for all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of all our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. It fell on the Lord. Think of all the wrongs you've done, all the wrongs I've done, they fell on the Lord. The Lord took them. If God has laid them in Christ, they're no longer in me, they're no longer in you. They were laid in Christ so that we can be relieved from them. That's why when you get saved, there's a burden less. My burden rolled away down at the feet of Jesus. He healed all my diseases. My burden rolled away. When a sinner believes in Jesus Christ as a Savior, they're no longer under condemnation. Romans 8 tells us that. Sin is dealt with. That is the guilt. That is the condemnation. That is the penalty of sin. It is no longer upon them. So the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin, and the penalty of sin is no longer upon that man or upon that woman that's born again in the Spirit of God. It's no longer upon them. It's gone. Because somebody took it for you. 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes wounds we were healed. You see, the penalty of sins was transferred to our substitute. Now, if you don't have one to transfer them till you're in trouble, you have no real message. But we have a message tonight, and we have one that our sins were transferred till. And this one that we're transferred till is the only begotten Son of God. He's special and he's unique, for he's born without sin. He came into this world for one reason. He came into this world for one purpose, to seek and to save lost sinners. Hence, because my sins were transferred to Christ, they're no more upon me. I'm free from them this evening. I want you to read you this wonderful statement from God, hiding himself in simplicity. God made a program. When man sinned in the beginning back, he tried to find a way of escape for himself. He tried to make himself a covering, fig leaves and so forth. It never worked, but God did make a way that man could fellowship with him again. And that was under the shed blood of an innocent substitute. And that's the only way that God ever did meet man, and that's the only way that God ever can meet man, is under the shed blood of an innocent substitute. Is Christ your innocent substitute tonight? I'll tell you, brother and sister, if he's not, you're in trouble. You're still lost. But he is my innocent substitute this evening. I'm glad I can say he is. I'm glad he took my place. Just like in the Old Testament type of Christ with a goat. Now let me read it for you this evening from Leviticus 16, verse 20 to 22. And this is about Aaron and the goat. And the Bible calls it the escape goat, or the release goat. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place, Leviticus 16, verse 20 to 22. And the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all his iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions of all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquity unto the land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And it's called the scapegoat. It carries away their sin. They lay their hands on it and they transfer. There's a transfer made because of this substitute. The sins of the people is transferred onto this goat. And the goat carries them away. And Jesus Christ on the cross transferred. There was a transfer made. My sins and your sins was placed upon him. And God judged him. God actually judged Christ for me and you. And he was condemned to death and he died. He died on the cross. But thank God that God raised him again on the third day from the dead. Hallelujah. There's a transfer made. Now there's a transfer made. I no longer carry my sins because he carried them and he took them for me. I'm released from them, so I'm free from them. Thank God this evening you're free. The devil doesn't want you to really get a hold of that. He wants you to think you're still carrying them. He wants you to keep working at it. But Jesus has done it at the cross and you're free this evening. The transfer's been made and Christ has carried away your sins. Where till, brother? Into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against us. No more. An act of identification by the which Aaron is a representative of the whole nation. Identified the people with it, acknowledging that his doom was that their sins mirrored it, and which today corresponds with the hands of faith laying hold on Christ ourselves with him in his death.
substitute. Are you following me this evening? Where the transfer till to the substitute? Where was yours and mine transfer till? To Christ. Amen. Because he's our substitute. He stood in our place. That's what a substitute means. He took my place. I can't do it without him. I'm lost without him. But I'm not without him. You see, the Bible speaks of a word, a wee word. It's called propitiation. That means God was satisfied. God was appeased with what Christ done on the cross. Please God. God accepted it on my behalf, on your behalf. God was pleased with the sacrifice. And God said, I'll have it. And you're free. Isn't that wonderful? Plus the goat took their sins to and iniquities onto the land not inhabited. Here then we have the great truth attached to the death of Christ. The full and final forgiveness of the people. If the death of Christ forms the foundation of the glory of God, it also forms the perfect forgiveness of sins to all who put their trust in it. And you know the death of Christ does form a foundation for the glory of God. God was gloried in the death of Christ. I know that sounds strange. That's the Bible. Because you see, Jesus done the Father's will. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. John 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay my life down, that I might take it again. John 13, verse 31, 32. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. The cross glorified God, because it defeated the devil. It defeated the devil. The Son of God had to die, and he did die. God abandoned him. We can take the scripture where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A word of anguish on the cross. And the Bible says that he yielded up the ghost and he died. He wasn't comatized where he was in some sort of hypnotic state. He actually did die. And he died that we might live again. He died that we wouldn't have to die. He died that we could go to heaven. He died that we could receive him, because he took our place. I'm glad this evening he took our place in Isaiah 49 verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. There's only one Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessed truth to know that God is glorified in the putting away of our sins. God is glorified in the putting away of our sins. We may say, where are our sins? They're put away. They're put away because of Christ. But by what? By the act of Christ upon the cross, in which God has been eternally glorified with that act. Eternally. Where's our sins put away till? They're gone. They can't be brought against us. Do you realize that they can never be brought against you no more? That's the word of God. Gone into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Washed away from the memory and presence of Almighty God by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the message. Hallelujah! What a message. When I stand before God, there'll be no list. You've done this and you've done that. I was guilty, but Jesus' blood cleanses me for all eternity. Not just then, for all eternity. He does it. Now look at these two goats for a moment. They wile away by the act of Christ upon the cross, in which God has been eternally glorified. The two goats on the Day of Atonement give the double aspect of the one act. In one we see God's glory maintained, and the other sins put away. The one is as perfect as the other. We are as perfectly forgiven as God is as perfectly glorified. and the death of Christ. So if God is glorified in the death of Christ, we are perfectly forgiven in the same death of Christ. They come hand in hand. And God is glorified. Jesus said, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. We know he was in the bosom of the Father, wasn't it? The Bible says he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful tonight? There was one single point in which God was not glorified in the cross. Not one single point, sorry. There was not one single point in which he was not glorified. God was glorified in the cross. Do you know why? Because Jesus did the Father's will. And the Father's will was to save. God's whole plan from Genesis right through, it's a red scarlet line that runs through the Bible. Christ accomplished it at the cross. And he said, it's finished, the word of victory. Not one, neither is there one single point in which we are not perfectly forgiven. We're forgiven tonight. Now, here we see the fulfillment of the law's requirements. The law's requirements that had to be fulfilled, but Jesus Christ was fit, unable to fulfill them. Romans 7:12 says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Remember that Jehovah himself had framed and given the law in the tablets to his servant Moses. Man was required to keep the law, but we know man failed. And it wasn't the fault of the law, but man's sin that failed. It's not that the law was wrong that man failed. The law was right and the law is still right. But the fact is man failed. But there would come a superior man. Let me put it like that. That was Christ Jesus who wouldn't fail. And he didn't fail. Romans 8:3-4 tells us, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, every man that was in the flesh failed to keep this law. But here come a man in the flesh and he was fit to do it. He was special. He was able to overcome all them temptations. He was able to overcome all them trials. And the Bible says, yet without sin. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The weakness here is fallen man. The standing forth of God's Son in the likeness of sins, flesh. The Greek word refers to the incarnation as we read in another scripture. God came down that he might save us. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. It's not some scripture. Made of a woman. God used a woman in the making of Christ. That's the Bible. You can't take it out of it. It's in it. Made of a woman. Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. So he became us that we might become him. He took our place. Yes, the Savior was born under the law. Born under it. That it might be kept. And that it might be kept perfectly. In thought, word, and in deed. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. And Christ was able to do that. But not only did the Savior keep the precepts of the law, he also suffered its penalty. He suffered the penalty of the law and endured its curse. He had broken it and taken our place. He must receive its just sentence. Having received his penalty and endured its curse, the demands of the law are fully met and justice is satisfied. Therefore it is written of believers in Galatians 3:13, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. Who was made a curse? Christ. He took our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Romans 8:10:4. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's the Lord we need tonight. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Aren't you glad you're under grace tonight? Grace. God's unmerited favor. You know what that means, brother? That means I never deserved it. You never deserved it. But out of God's love, love restrained him to the cross. God so loved the world. God is love. Out of God's love, he gives us grace. It is the grace of God that led us to repentance. It is the grace of God that let us hear the word of God, and God opened our understanding to receive it and know it and get down and repent and ask the Lord to save us. That was the grace of God. Ephesians says, for by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I'm glad for God's grace tonight. If it was down to me, it wouldn't work. But it's not down to me, it's down to his grace. It's finished. Victory. Now here's my last thought this evening, and I'm coming to close in a moment. Here we see the destruction of Satan's power at the cross. This is a blow to the devil. Calvary is a blow to the devil. This is finished. This word of victory is a blow to the enemy. The cross was a death blow to the devil's power. To the human appearance, it looked, you know, humanly speaking, humanly thinking, it looked like the devil had a triumph, but he didn't have. Yet in reality, it was the hour of his ultimate defeat. Calvary was the greatest battle ever fought. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now we know that the devil still has to be chained and cast into the bottomless pit. We know that. Excuse me. Nevertheless, the sentence has been passed. His doom is certain. Christ defeated him at the cross. He conquered him. You know, when they set the watch over Jesus in the tomb, and they set death and corruption over the watch of him, and they told death, get into him, corrupt him, and all that. But the Bible says, I shall not leave my soul in hell, the psalmist. I shall not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. God raised Jesus from the dead, and he never saw corruption. And the devil was defeated. Amen. That's why this is Good Friday. I know the day is Sunday, but it's Easter, all right. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. A word of victory. Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Isn't that wonderful? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to free them, and he came to defeat the devil. We're at the cross. The cross was the way out. The cross was the way out. Humanity had been held in bondage for thousands of years, but the cross was the way out. All who truly believe in Jesus Christ have already been delivered from the power of darkness. Your physical body could die, but the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. You have eternal life once you're born again. You can never really die. The second death will have no more dominion on you. Sin will have no dominion on you. Death has no dominion on you. Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up where? At Calvary. Thank God for it tonight. Colossians 1:13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Our brother Ewell often quotes that as he prays. God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We should then treat devil, as F.F. Bosworth says, as a defeated enemy. He's a defeated enemy. The old great preacher F.F. Bosworth said he's eternally defeated. He's defeated. No matter what happens in our life, he's still defeated. We are the Lord's. Things might happen to us, and we might go through trials and tribulations, but we're still the Lord's. The Lord owns us this evening. He's bought us with the price. What a price! The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're bought with the blood of Jesus. No longer has he any legitimate claim on the blood-bought, blood-washed child of God. Once, every one of us were lawless captives, but now we're free. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How are you going to resist him? By submitting yourself to God. The more you submit to God, commit to God, the devil has to leave you. Isn't that wonderful? That means if you get a hard time, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. He's your friend. Do you ever sit down and talk to him like your best friend? That's the way you should pray, you know. You should tell the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. People say, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to the Lord. And do it in the name of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's a word of victory. Christ has conquered both death, hell, and the grave. It is finished. Do you believe it? Can you receive it? F.F. Bosworth said, we must look at the devil eternally defeated. Christ defeated him. Even the devil's sidekicks are defeated. And you know, the devil's sidekicks had known they would never crucify the Lord of glory. Believer, Brother Gary might have mentioned it the other week. I prayed it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. Here's what it says. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That was a death blow. Christ dying was their death. And you know the Bible says that the devil will die as a man dies. You know when they're going to see the devil, there's a day when people's going to see him. And what they're going to say is, that's the one that made the nations tremble. Says him. People think he's big horns and he's terrible ugly, but the Bible shows that he's a beautiful angel. A cherubim over the music in heaven. But he went against God. He wanted to be God. And the Lord kicked him out. You can overcome the devil today. Why? Because it's finished. Today, the scriptural key to that door for you has been unlocked. There's a way into heaven for you. Christ is at way as I come to close this evening. Revelations 12 verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. It's finished. Finished. The blood of the Lamb is a weapon that every single one of us can use tonight. And the word of our testimony. You have a testimony. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. You know your testimony is powerful. It's powerful. Young man, your testimony is powerful. Far above what you could ever know. Your testimony is powerful. Do you know why? Because the Lord says, when you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Every time you confess the Lord, he'll confess you before his Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful tonight? Come to the fountain. The fountain of blood. Wash in the blood of the Lamb this evening. Conquer the devil in your life. God's given everything you need to conquer the enemy. The blood of Jesus Christ. He stood in your place. He stood in your room. He stood in your stead. He died for you. He died for me. He died for all men, especially for those that will believe. Will you come to the Lord this evening? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Oh, but Brother Tom, I've lived an awful life. I lived an awful life, but the Lord rescued me. Dear woman, the Lord can save you. Dear man, the Lord can save you. The Lord can change you. The Lord can deliver you. The Lord can set you free. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. I remember in my bedroom in my mother's house in the front room, something spoke within me and said, Isaiah 1 verse 18. And I could no longer sleep and I got out of bed and I opened the Bible at Isaiah 1 18 and it said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. The next verse says, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be cut off with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I believe God gave me an ultimatum. An ultimatum. I believe that. Maybe everybody wouldn't look at it like that, but for me, I believe God called me. And I believe God gave me an ultimatum to come. And I knelt and I came to the Savior. I surrendered to him completely. And I'm going to tell you something, I had bondages in my life and they broke instantly. Things I couldn't stop doing broke instantly. They no more held me. They no more had any power over me. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power of Christ is greater than any other power. And you know, we speak to him when we pray, and he speaks to us through his word. I really believe in this service tonight, because somebody watching me tonight, the Lord's speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you. You need to get right with God. You need to come to the Savior. Make no delay. Come while you may. He loves you this evening. And all you have to do is kneel down where you are. Acknowledge you're a sinner. And ask him to forgive you your sin and cleanse you with his precious blood. And accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Let us stand our feet as we come to a close this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for Calvary. We thank you, it's finished. The work's finished. A word of victory. Victory over the devil. Victory in the cross. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. You're risen. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. Lord, you're such a big God, but yet you can come down into our hearts. Lord, come into men and women's hearts tonight. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work this evening on men and women. Convince and convict of sin. Open men and women's understanding to the knowledge of the truth. And save souls, I pray. Lord, I know the most important thing in this life is to be saved. And I'm asking you, you'll save a man or a woman this evening. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Pray for your own people that you'll bless them and strengthen them. I ask you for those in this meeting tonight and their needs, Lord. Maybe they're praying in secret. You know their needs. I ask you to meet them needs, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. You promised us whatsoever we ask in your name, you will do that the Father may be glorified. We're asking you this evening that you'll meet every need. Lift the burdens. Lord, maybe somebody can through a trial. Pray you'll help them and strengthen them. And bless them tonight. May they know your lovely presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I ask you again for Mrs. Madison, for your touch, for your mercy. I ask you for David Jones, for your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for Mark's children, for the wee girl that hurt her finger, for your mercy. Lord, for each one, for Brother Nigel and all the family. For John Deal tonight, for a mighty touch from God. Any others, Lord, maybe we've forgotten their names, that you'll give them a real touch from heaven. For Brother Matthew, touch them. Strengthen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. As a Brother Gary prepares to come, don't forget Thursday night, our prayer and Bible study at 7:30. Then next Sunday morning, our Brother Gary will be bringing the Word of God. And then the week after that, I think it's the first of May, Brother Andrew Beecham will be with us to preach for us on the two services on the Sunday. And we look forward to Brother Andrew coming. Also, Brother Matthew is wanting to do something for the youth maybe next month, if he can get the hall on a Saturday evening. So pray for all these arrangements and everything, and pray for Brother Gary and myself and all what we seek to do for the Lord. And the Lord bless each and every one this evening. God bless you.
Just check with Ruth there. Tommy, she's working next Sunday, so maybe either you or someone else can do the next Sunday, and then can do it after Andrew comes or some other time. Can we, little children want to sing that little song, bigger than all my problems, if we can sing God is bigger than any mountain.
Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all conditions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all the giants of fear of believing, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain I can pass.
I am the way. Wonder, does Chillam want to come up and sing that?
Amen.
Go on ahead. Go on up, you young ones, and sing that there. I am the way, the truth, the life. Come on ahead. Come on up in the front and have people hear you. You can join, everybody can join in with this. Thank you indeed, Lord Jesus, that one hymn writer wrote and said, "'Tis done, 'tis done, the great transaction's done." We thank you that your word says, for Christ once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, being put to death the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. We thank you indeed, Lord, not only did the just die for the unjust, we thank you, Lord, that we lost our sin, but Lord, also that we gained your righteousness, for your word says that you have imputed to us your righteousness. Lord, what a wonderful transaction it was. Lord, that we come black and we go away white. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we come with a debt. Not only are we debt-free, but we're rich in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're seated in heavenly places. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the mercies and the grace of God. And we thank you, Lord, even that your word says that he became weak, that we would be strong. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us riches, Lord, beyond this world can ever offer us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your own Son, Lord God. We just pray this evening, Lord, that you'll bless the preaching of thy word. Bless the one that brought it, and bless his family and house. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lord, for each one that's represented here tonight, we pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to be with each one, meet every person's need, help them throughout the week. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our King, we pray, giving God the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you as you go. We'll sing that hymn as we leave. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are purified. Amen. The Lord bless you. See you on Thursday night. Come to the Saviour in your name. Well, we'll start off the first verse. We'll know the first verse, of course, at least we can get that.
Come to